Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the arena, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
I know you want me.
And Luke, put that nipple away.
I know you need me.
Jim. All right.
Hello.
Rumba.
Two out of three ain't bad. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for lending us your ears. We won't misuse them. Now, but we may abuse them.
We can't promise that.
Yeah, I have, Jim, so up that game of yours, baby. Now, due to unfinished building work in Fortaleza, the airport in Fortaleza in Brazil, during the World Cup, fans will arrive and be ushered through a temporary structure in the form of a tent rather than a terminal, a good substitute.
This is worrying. Mm. It doesn't bode well for what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, have they got a bouncy castle runway? Yeah.
What's the first thing people are going to say? Should we do that last? Should we sort that out last?
Yeah. Well, how would you like fans to be greeted when they land in Brazil for the World Cup, Pete?
I'd like the authorities of FIFA to basically explain to everybody that you can lose matches as well as win matches. Yeah. Just explain to them the rules of the game, basically, because then nobody's disappointed if things don't go their way.
Break him in easily. Tell them there's
lower expectations. Perhaps.
There's another side to this coin.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You turn it up with your fancy face paints and your horns and all that. Remember.
Yeah. You're excited about the plinth. You're excited about the invisible paint they're going to paint on the on the
Birdman.
Floor.
Yeah. Oi, Birdman, Birdman, talking to you as well.
Potman.
Yeah, Potman. Yeah,
Birdman. Potman, come here.
Yeah. Stop talking at the back.
So you'd like a sort of a realist team?
Yeah.
To greet people.
Yeah, just to sort of dampen expectation.
It's basically the football equivalent of those adverts that you get on billboards that say the value of your investments can go down.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. That's a good idea.
That's an excellent idea.
It's sort of going, look, it's not all about the Rio Carnival. Yeah, there are some bad parts to the World Cup too.
Yeah. Do you think, like, if English fans arrived at that time and they'd be going, oh, yeah, it's a good point. And then a load of Spanish fans, they'd be like, hey, guys, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I don't even remember losing at a tournament.
Congering through.
Yeah. We beat Spain on penalties once.
Yeah, Euro 96 for the youngsters amongst us, yeah.
Unfathomable. Yeah. Unfathomable.
Well, Spain lost to Switzerland, of course, didn't they? Spain did lose a game to Switzerland. So.
Yeah, and they lost a game to Scott Parker. Friendly game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Luke?
If anything, they've done enough of losing. It's time for them to start winning. I've got a idea which revolves around
Good.
Mas que nada.
Yes.
Starting the rest of the words. Basically, reenactment of the 1998 Nike advert in the airport. I'm talking Bobby Carlos, Ronaldo, Romario, Danielson.
Yes.
Little cameo from Monsieur Cantona.
Absolutely.
And they could basically just do some keepy ups. None of them are going to be playing anymore, so just knocking the ball around. They could even...
Ronaldo, did you say?
For Ronaldo. Yeah, he's one of the main people, isn't it? But they could also take select pieces of people's luggage and curl those through the X-ray machine a la the ball in the advert.
Yes.
Mm. I think that'd be a lovely way to start off the World Cup for many fans who have entered the country.
Yeah.
Taking back to a time when adverts were really good fun.
98.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So I think that'd be a nice touch.
Mm. That's a wonderful start. Mm. Jim?
Well, I think they can be a bit clever with it and say, as a little welcome to Brazil, as a little present, you get to build a bit of wall. And that way, they'd actually finish the airport by the end of the World Cup.
Yeah, good idea.
So when they go out, where's that tent? Oh,
yeah.
You think that thing we did, you do? Yeah, well, there you go. On you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I just said. but I'm so excited by this idea.
When we went to... you guys might be able to remember a bit better than me. It was certainly when we went to the Euros in 2012. There wasn't really much by way of sort of celebration at Kiev Airport. There was a couple of signs, weren't there?
Yeah.
Nice airport, though, isn't it?
It's a lovely airport, but a couple of students are just offering you help if you need it, but there was nothing really going on, was there?
Marcus was probably just shouting racist stuff. I wasn't there.
Probably. Definitely not.
For those of you who didn't listen about 4 years ago, Marcus started singing Sing Sing Africa into a man's face on the way to Johannesburg. So there you go, that's filling people in.
Mm. Well, I still refuse it.
Indiscretions.
I was singing it and a man tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around and I was like, oh, sorry. And I
stopped. Indiscriminately sprayed song into a man's face.
Yeah, I wish it was me. Peter just wishes it was him. That's
He enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Sing Africa.
Yeah, exactly. Kisses were exchanged. Pete Donaldson was jealous.
Yeah. Well, you're not getting the points now,
either. No, certainly not. Yeah. Not after that roast.
So I want a cola bottle.
Definitely.
Jim, after you've had your cola bottle, what do you think?
What do I think? What, are you offering me the chance to give me myself the points?
Oh, you said just build a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's my genuine answer, believe it or not.
What's yours, Spudder?
Well, I thought I would like those who have represented FIFA at the airport to greet everybody. And I think Sepp would probably fancy himself as a crooner.
You could get Seydorf. He loves crooning, but he serenaded by the Scone, as we heard last week.
That's true, yeah. But I'm thinking Sepp singing it, I did it my way, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Jerome Valka just running around with a clipboard annoying everybody.
Announcing things that haven't been agreed.
Exactly. Yeah, on the announcement.
Oh, just making stuff up.
This is going to be in space next time. and then Sepp going, no, we've talked about that. I don't think we've confirmed
it. No. It's going to be in space and the ball's going to be on fire.
In a new month that we haven't invented yet.
Space month
between January and February, February.
And also Jack Warner would be brought back in. He'd be on the bureau to change,
like a cyborg's body.
They'd be on the bureau to change. How much? £1,000 for how many? One guy? What? Hang on. What do you mean you've closed? Where's he gone?
You can imagine
a puff of smoke.
You can imagine people.
Then he invoices you for loads of money you owe him.
You imagine people going up to him in Trinidad and Tobago saying. Jack, I know you're not working with FIFA anymore, but can you still get tickets? If there's one thing I can get, it is tickets.
Hello, is that Robbie Earle?
I'll print my own.
Can you imagine the arguments that if it did take place in space, the arguments of how light the ball was? Oh, the ball's too light.
Yeah, the keepers can't catch it.
No one can breathe. Yeah. The altitude's way too much.
You'd start Andy Carroll then, wouldn't you? Yeah. Balls in the air.
You'd have to send your team.
Spain
well
wouldn't
early.
Have a chance.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Look at those little lads.
If it was in space, though, wouldn't you have to have
heavy
creatures
first.
From different planets.
You'd have to
do a lot of exploration first.
Well, you've got to find the creatures. Well,
exactly.
If indeed they are out there.
It's flawed, Jerome. Stop telling everyone it's happening.
I don't know why he's
doing
that.
I don't think that's even one of his worst ideas.
Yeah, that's true. He'd be top three, but maybe not number one. Luke's definitely got the points.
Thank you.
I think we can all agree.
I was going to kick off if I didn't get it then.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. That's why I gave him.
Thank you, mate.
Right, now that's out the bloody way. Let's go to the FA Cup. The English World Cup. Manchester City 4, Watford 2.
Should we have a really tedious and lengthy debate about if it's lost its value or not? Yeah. That's what every other media outlet's doing.
Well, it's definitely lost its value, Luke, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's settled.
Yeah, the FA Cup is my favourite competition.
I love it.
In terms of club football.
Yeah.
But Wigan are the holders. How brilliant is that?
That's very brilliant.
Portsmouth have won it recently. All this talk of the...
Sticking the boot in.
You won. I'm praising you for your achievements. No, you're so used to criticism, you can't take praise anymore. What it is. Yeah. But, I mean, when people do say that, they sort of say, oh, it's the same teams winning it over and over again. But that hasn't actually been the case for ages. So, no it hasn't. Shut up.
Yeah.
Agreed. But Manchester City did beat Watford 4-2. Shame for Watford. They were 2-0 up, scoring a couple of nice goals.
Then Man City, remember they were Man City. He went,
they did. And Pellegrini said, if I could have changed 11 players at half time, I would have done.
Yeah.
Which is not really great stuff for people like Richards and Rodwell who started.
Isn't the average amount of goals that City scored at home this season 4? Oh. So really, it doesn't really matter if you score 2. Yeah. Makes no odds at all. But I thought Watford started really well. Their first goal was a beauty.
Lovely ball in, wasn't it?
They played some really slick stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I didn't see all of the game. But from what I saw, it looked to me like Watford thought, you know what, should we have a go in? They played two strikers, and City do have a little... It sounds a bit ridiculous to be overcritical of them because they're such a good team, but they do have a tendency, in my view, to lose concentration a little bit. So if you can hit them early, I think what Watford were trying to do is hit them early, get a goal, and then just try and have some one of those famous like backs of the wall defensive things. But they end up scoring two, but of course it was just impossible.
But it was such a shame.
The third was such a heartbreak.
Three minutes.
The Taibbi, wasn't it? Taibbi.
Even the fourth, I mean, the keeper didn't do too well. No. But even at 3-2, Watford had a chance. And for the rest of the teams at the top of the Premier League, that would have been nice for City to have to go and play another game in a competition.
I think, it's, as Luke says, the only way you're going to get anything from them, especially there, is just to just defend for your lives. And that counts with the big sides as well. I mean, they've put six past Spurs and Arsenal and West Ham. And regardless, you know, they're all three very different teams. It doesn't matter when it comes to City. It's a leveller in that they will level you.
I think you're right. That's the closest you're going to get to getting anything out of a game. But even then, you still won't. I mean, Bayern Munich, I mean, you look at the top teams in club football in the world, and, you know, there's probably a handful better than City, especially on their own patch. And if that, you know, Bayern Munich are certainly one of them. Other than that...
Well, they beat Bayern from behind, though, didn't they?
Indeed, yeah.
I think Man City's biggest problem is the fact they play with... Sometimes they just don't play with... nowhere near enough intensity. They just don't seem to be that interesting. They just stroke the ball around, and, you know, they can sometimes get caught.
That's what happened. They had to step it up a bit.
But they do step it up, don't they? That's the thing. They consistently do that. Or it seems that way, at least.
Yeah.
Don't have the stats.
But the quadruple's still on for Manchester City.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Like to see them do it in a sort of a... And I understand that, you know, big club with a lot of money. You
not really thought about it.
I'd want to dominate, but then it would be an incredible achievement.
But I don't think... I wouldn't want to see it purely because it's... It's been
as an Arsenal,
isn't it? but it's from money. Would you want to see Chelsea do the same?
I don't think they will do it. I've got a feeling they're going to get pipped to the league by Chelsea, who seem to be coming into form at the right time. I remember a month or two ago, I was saying that Chelsea might have been a bit of bother.
You think Chelsea will overtake City for the league?
I think from what I can see of the way Chelsea are playing in the league and the way they're coming into form at the right time, and I think City have got a few. Potential, certainly away from home, sort of certain intensity problems, sort of concentration and stuff like that. But I think, and also Mourinho's been there and done it before.
Yeah.
And I think, certainly for me, they seem to be coming into form at the right time and hitting their stride. I'd have to look at the fixtures, to be perfectly honest. But as I said last week, I think Arsenal will probably miss out. But it'll be between those two. I think City could probably win the FA Cup. They're not. I don't think they'll win the Champions League. So
I think they'll do a lot better in it than they've done before.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, who knows? Interesting to see.
My romance gland is so far away from modern football.
Yeah. Well, I think
part of my brain.
But can you put it away, though? It is distracting.
In the words of your girlfriend.
Drawing a face of it on it.
They'll have to overcome Chelsea in the next round, of course. Big tie there. Chelsea beat Stoke City 1-0. Oscar with a lovely free kick.
It was so boring, though, wasn't it?
Peter, see that free kick?
I did not see this free kick.
Oh, it's a beauty, mate.
Come on.
It's an absolute beaut. Really nice goal, but it was a boring game.
Yeah, Mourinho didn't seem too worried about Man City.
He loves
in the
a boring
next
game, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, he didn't seem too worried about getting Man City in the next round. And I like that reaction because people were making a big deal of it. But what's he just going to say, the generic, well, obviously we'll go there, we'll try to win. And he just sort of shrugged his shoulders and went, well, great.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
I think, really, if you're Chelsea manager, you've got to be confident of beating anyone. I mean, City are one of the better teams, but realistically, if you want to win the trophy, you're going to have to play someone good at some point.
Yeah.
But
it's good news for the competition in general that that fixture's happened and that Liverpool and Arsenal have got each other as well. There's two of the big guns out there.
What did you boys think of the PA announcement at Stamford Bridge? Did you hear about that?
Fill me in on this, because I heard something happen but missed what it was.
Essentially, the Chelsea PA guy... I don't know his official title, announcer, I suppose. He, just before kickoff, he said, and a very warm welcome to Stoke fans who've made it down to Stamford Bridge, all 700 of them, just over 10% of their allocation. And I was really snidey about it.
Really?
Yeah, even though the game was on telly, it's quite expensive for tickets and stuff. And I just thought, that's a really classless way to behave.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sort of painting all Chelsea fans with that brush and that he speaks for on behalf of them. Because, to be fair, I listened to the radio last night and a few Chelsea fans rung in with him and were saying that he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
And he certainly sounds like a dickhead to me.
I've seen him in action, he's...
Right, okay, fine. So you can...
Bearing in mind that I think...
It's just really needless, though.
When I went to Stamford Bridge to watch Newcastle play and I was in with the home support, it's like £42. That was the cheapest I could get a ticket for. It's just like...
Absolutely. And the game's on telly and all this other stuff. And if you...
Gauche.
And the people who do go, the 700 who do go, they go and get treated like that by some idiot with a microphone. And sometimes you get accused of being anti-Chelsea this or anti-Chelsea that. it's things like that which don't help, which don't endear them to the wider football community. And I think most right-thinking Chelsea fans know that.
Yeah, and we all know a few of them.
Yeah.
And they are embarrassed by a lot of that shit.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, yeah. I just thought it's a really needless thing to do. And if you're a class... You can't imagine, like, a really classy team who've got, you know... They wouldn't do that, and I think really he should be reprimanded for that because that's disrespectful to fans in general.
Yeah, he's a bit of a relic though, that guy.
Right, okay.
It's
disrespectful for club legends such as Nigel Spackman, Dennis Wise,
It's Eddie Newton.
Eddie Newton.
Big Frank Sinclair.
Yeah.
All those leading lights.
Yeah. Paul Steen. Mark Steen, Paul Furlong.
Paul Steen, that's poor by you.
Paul Furlong and Mark Steen. Great strike partnership, sorry, yeah. Where the hell were we? Oh, yeah.
Juan Mata?
Chelsea. Juan Mata, he's gone. Signed for Manchester United. £37 million. Great bit of business by Chelsea, really. People saying, is it good
if you're not going to play him? No. excellent.
Should
we get rid of that vacuum cleaner we don't use? Yeah, all right, cool.
Well, yeah, it's a good move all round, would you say?
Everyone's
in it. It's a direct competitor, though, isn't it, really? I guess.
Really?
Not at the moment.
Yeah,
it does seem very short termist.
I don't know why he's not playing in that team. I know Mourinho doesn't like him, but it just seems bizarre.
Is it a great move for Mata?
I'd say
really? So. Well, I mean, there's a chance that he won't be playing Champions League football next year.
Kagawa won't be playing.
But if he goes to Manchester United, he'll be one of the main men. And it's Manchester United, for crying out loud. He's a young guy. Mm. I understand what you mean. A player like him wants to be in the Champions League. But Luis Suarez isn't playing in the Champions League currently and hasn't done for...
And that's why he's been chipping off about it. He'll go in the summer if he gets top four.
Of course he will. Yeah, but I mean, with Mata, when all comes right, it will be with Rooney and Van Persie. So I mean, that's formidable.
It's Manchester United.
Do you not think his best position is kind of like that number 10, that Rooney role anyway?
Well, quite possible. I think he can play. I think Manchester United will play like
a 4. They'll be able to accommodate all of them. I think they could definitely
4-2.
They've got room in that midfield. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What about Michael Essien signed for Milan? He's gone from Chelsea. It's a good move for him.
Mm. Yeah, I heard a list this morning on the radio of the things that he won at Chelsea. He won quite a lot of stuff.
Best sleeper.
Definitely. Apparently, was it 16 hours a night or something? Yeah.
Apparently so.
I think about that footballer every single morning when I don't think I've had enough sleep.
Yeah.
When I've had 8 hours and I'm like, oh, I want to go back.
Apparently, Essien used to, this is apocryphal, so I'm not sure how true it is, but someone told me that he has so much energy that sometimes he would go for a run after a football game. So
he'd play
League game with that intensity, and then by the time he got home and stuff, he would then go out for a run because he had more energy to burn off.
Maybe that's why he's always asleep. He couldn't handle the intensity of his own waking hours.
But a lot of footballers will, obviously sleep is very important to a professional athlete. A lot of footballers will, after training, will go home and have an afternoon nap as well.
Lovely.
So it does happen.
Yeah, that's true. Chelsea have also signed Mohamed Salah, which I think is a decent signing. He's certainly a good young player. Balotelli's been making kissy faces at Jose Mourinho in the media.
That would be a brilliant signing. They need a striker. Yeah. I'd love to see that happen.
Some chaos. It'd be good.
I'd love to have him back in the Premier League, wouldn't you?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Ultimate chaos.
With a K.
Yeah.
Back to the FA Cup. What about... Phil Brown, would you like to see him back in the Premier League? His Southend side.
It's going to take a while, isn't it? Southender in League Two, to be fair.
His Southend side, they were beaten 2-0 at home by Hull City, his old team, of course. Southend nearly took the lead.
That was
a 35-yarder from Timlin. Would have been goal of the year.
Yeah. What a hit.
Oh, my goodness. I did like it when you see the smaller grounds that you're starved of in the Premier League, when one of the Hull players hit a shot that flew out of the ground.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you see some of the fans in their flats nearby, you know, getting a freebie.
That would have cleared a stand twice as high as that.
To be fair, it would have cleared somewhere like Craven Cottage
or
something.
It was absolute ridiculous.
Yeah.
It miles in the air.
It's one of those ones if you're playing down the field or, like, you know, I don't know, you're at school and your school's fancy enough to have an AstroTurf pitch or something, it's like, boof, you don't see them for the rest of the PE period.
Yeah, yeah. But I like the idea of I'm not sure if it happened afterwards or before, but I like the idea anyway of the whole player going, seeing that that Timlin hit off the bar and going, he's League Two, I'm Premier League, I could do that.
Yeah.
Just going, boof. Miles in the air. Yeah.
Just landing in a skip in the next town.
Both count for the same, though.
But I thought Matty Fryett played very well.
Yes.
Took his goals beautifully. Two very nice goals. I remember seeing him play for Leicester. He always looked, to me at least, I've not seen him as much as others, I expect, but he always looked a fairly handy player. But he can't really get in the team at Hull these days. Well, obviously, they've signed players and stuff, but he's taken a claim there.
Exactly, yeah, maybe that will change now.
Yeah. Sunderland beat Kidderminster 1-0, the last non-league side in the competition. They put up a good fine, had a couple of decent efforts.
They took 4,000 up to Sunderland as
well. Yeah, they did.
Brilliant.
Sunderland
won.
Just 4,000?
Yeah, yeah. 100% of their allocation.
That's 10% of my mates.
Yeah.
No, but Sunderland took the lead early, but Kidderminster had a couple of chances, and it was one of those ones where it was on for them. And that, you know, it's obviously an amazing day out for them, but they'll go away thinking,
because the chance they had at the end, the guy's first touch took it way out of his feet. Yeah.
And it's still not a bad effort, though, from where he was. They, they've got a player called Michael Gash, which is obviously brilliant.
Yes.
And their right back, Lee Vaughan, I think his name is. He was brilliant. He had a fantastic game. He cleared one off the line. He made a block really late on as well. And like, obviously, they'll be gutted to go out. But from his point of view, on a personal level, that must be brilliant. Because he absolutely shone.
Right back?
Yeah.
Well, with Glenn Johnson probably out for the World Cup. I mean, you are scratching around, aren't you?
I was going to say that Sunderland have turned into a bit of a cup side. They've got Southampton at home next. They could win that.
They've already beaten them in a cup competition.
Then they drew two of them in the league, and they were poor for the first half hour, but they really were good value after that. And I think Poirier's got a little bit of a mentality of that sort of thing. They could progress.
Sunderland march on. Wigan 2, Crystal Palace 1 was another match that definitely happened.
That's the nearest we had to an upset, wasn't it?
Yeah, the holders.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, strangely. One person I missed from the Premier League is Al Habsi.
Yeah.
Good keeper.
Wow. What some great saves he was pulling out. There was one from Punchin, it was a great effort, and he tipped it over the bar. I really enjoyed watching him play for Wigan, actually. He's very, he's a great shot stopper.
He's a very much for the cameras keeper, isn't he? Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
He also does a good line in having a go at all his defenders as well, which is nice to see.
Yeah, we'll see that. What about Stevenage 0? Everton 4.
And I hate seeing that.
I hate looking at broken legs.
Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Pete, before we talk about that, Andy Gray.
Back.
Who Lazarus. Left the door open? Andy Gray was back on British television.
I mean...
And I hate seeing
that. Just Richard Keys that morning.
Oh,
on Twitter.
God, just kicking off.
Abu Dhabi. Good Lord.
Classless man.
We were bugged.
You still said all those disgusting things.
We were set up by our own terribleness.
It's like Peter's Pizza on Twitter. Our phone calls around blatant breaches of the contract getting easier to say. friend of the Ramble, James Paveyu, occasional goalkeeper of the Ramble team.
Oh yeah,
big pass. Summed up nicely when Keys was tweeting on Saturday morning. I think it was.
Andy's back.
Yeah, yeah. Tweeted him saying, it's a good job you don't keep going on about it, because that would be embarrassing. He never shuts up about it, does he, Keith?
Oh, he's...
It's just all morning he was just... And then he just kind of stopped after a while, just replying to abuse after abuse after... He didn't even seem to reply to the nice comments that were chucked his way.
That's really
what I liked. It was a couple. Because I had a good old morning of it. It was really fun. It was really fun watching a man break down a little bit.
Well, that's
your opinion.
Yeah.
He's just... And one of them went, shouldn't you be in school Saturday, Richard?
Also, he couldn't reply to all of them because he was driving to Dundee in his bare feet. And you can't tweet and drive.
Yeah. Yet another Partridge reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a shame.
By the sounds of it, he's not going to be back anytime soon. A lot of people threaten to sort of jack in their BT sports subscriptions and stuff. I don't think it went very well for them. Yeah. They got a lot of backlash over it.
I was quite cynical on the behalf of BT Sport, thinking, well, here we go, there's a chance here for us to make a name for ourselves, make a sort of appointment for people to listen.
Feminism's quite big, that must mean sexism's okay.
Now is that it?
Yeah.
Sky Sports enjoying very lofty, high moral ground there.
Incredibly.
For once, indeed.
Oh dear. But there was a football match.
But the thing about the Graham Keyes story, just to go back to just briefly, is that I don't know if you guys feel the same, but for me, very much the overall mood appears to be that everyone's moved on.
Yeah.
And the last thing that Graham Keyes want to think is that everyone's just moved on. And in actual fact, since it's happened, people like Ed Chamberlain and Ben Shepherd and Chris Kamara have come in and they've done a fight. Dave Jones is another one. They've done a good job.
Oh, yeah.
And very much they've got it back to what traditionally television covering that sport should be about, which very much that the football does the talking. Yeah, there's
absolutely.
And people accept that and enjoy that.
And prefer that.
There's no need for them to be
The biggest mistake a presenter can ever make, I think, is believing that anyone gives a toss about them.
Yeah, right.
I really do believe that. Mm. As a professional radio presenter.
Don't listen to all the comments.
Yeah, exactly. I do read my texts, so... and my agent.
Yeah.
Didn't you get a text on the radio once saying, I hope you throw yourself in a fire or something?
Yeah.
That was my favourite one.
It was a bonfire, actually, technically.
Yeah, bonfire. Yeah.
I told him I was 90% asbestos, so...
Yeah.
Wouldn't burn.
Don't give your dad the number.
But there was a football match that happened. Mm. And Stevenage Borough lost 4-0 to Everton. And
losers. I wonder how many fans they brought.
Chelsea Stadium, that's really good. That Chelsea Stadium, that should look at the Chelsea attendances prior about 1995. In my humble opinion.
Well, he would have been there. He probably would have been there at that time. So, good routine win for Everton. A terrible, terrible injury to Brian Oviedo.
Well, actually, Everton's first goal, it came after a Stevenage chance, and they got hit on the break and sucker punched in it, and the quality did tell. But if Stevenage had scored that goal, I mean, you could argue that Everton's quality would have shone through, as Graham Westley said after the game, but it would have been a slightly different game. And it was really sad to see Brian Oviedo such a bad injury. There's talk, though. Martinez said today they're really all pulling together and hoping that he can get fit before the World Cup, because it's not necessarily going to be 6 months. They don't know the extent of it yet. Yeah. It certainly looks a bad one, but he's not absolutely 100% that he'll be out of the World Cup.
Let's hope he's not.
He's
been a great player for
him. He's been marvellous, it was nice to see
Graham. It was an innocuous one, though, wasn't it, as well? Yeah. It wasn't like it was a really vicious challenge or anything like that.
It was nice to see Graham Westley.
Always.
I always forget where he sort of pops up.
Yeah.
And there he was again.
I like that... he's got quite a sort of strange haircut in my view, sort of like a weird sort of almost like a blow dry flat top. But last time he was on this show, he was for texting players about terrorist attacks or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
strange. And you've obviously interviewed him yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. We've surely talked about that before.
Different life.
Another 4-0 win on the weekend was Arsenal. They beat Sir Coventry 4-0. They faced Liverpool in the next round, who overcame Bournemouth 2-0. How would you say this? Gedeon Zalalem?
Gedeon Zalalem, I think. Who knows?
Zalalem, sorry.
Came on for the last sort of 10 or 15.
He's been tipped for great things.
First player to play for Arsenal, who was born after Wenger started at Arsenal.
He looks to be a real talent from what I've
German-born, Ethiopian descent.
Yeah, but was raised in the USA.
That's right, yeah.
So
he could play for England.
He could play for any of those teams.
There has genuinely been talk of that already.
Oh, God.
Much like Yannick.
But, you know, I think I'm right in saying, and no doubt people will point out if I'm wrong here, if he decides to declare official for the US, Arsenal may lose him because they have to have a work permit to remember to get one.
Is that right?
So they're hoping he declares for Germany, I think.
It would be the same with Ethiopia then, wouldn't it?
I don't think he needs to be in any rush.
No, but I think it's because if you're a German citizen and you take the citizenship of another country, it's not like in the UK where you can have dual citizenship. He has to then relinquish his German passport, which then means he won't be a citizen of the EU.
Interesting. Yeah. I think there's surely an argument, though, that he's talented enough and has a sort of bright enough future to get around certain things.
They'd have to appeal it,
But he has a real vision about him. He can pick out a pass. And, the squad have been complimenting a lot about how he's quite slight, but he's very strong. And it's exciting. Hopefully we'll see a little bit of him this season. And he'll be brilliant and we'll win everything every year.
I've read a bit about him and I know everyone's excited for him, but I didn't get a chance to see as much of him as I wanted to. I was hoping he would come on for a half or something. But it's his debut and that sort of stuff, and the game was already won by that point, so it was nice for him to get a few touches, but hopefully we'll see more of him in the future. He does look a real talent.
Nice that Podolski's back as well.
Absolutely, of course. He's
still working on his fitness, but that seems to have been the story of his entire Arsenal career. Wenger's always come out saying he's not at his full fitness. Like, I don't know what's going on there. It's strange. And good to see Santi Cazorla as well. He's actually fit. Apparently he had an injury that he was carrying on his right leg, and he's a very two-footed player, so some of his kind of more subdued performances a little bit further back in the season were because of that.
And
he's really playing well at the moment.
Arsenal did a very professional job in my view, because Coventry are a team who score a lot of goals, and they obviously had that 10-point deduction at the beginning of the season, but they're still pushing playoffs now.
They had a couple of chances as well.
Yeah, they did. And Leon Clark's a good player. He wants a transfer, doesn't he? So I was thinking that he'll be putting himself in the shop window. Unfortunately, Callum Wilson was injured.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Frank Musa, Belgian midfield player, he's having a good season at Coventry. So Arsenal knew that there was potential for them to not maybe be upset, but they could coast. Yeah, yeah, indeed. So it was really professional performance by them, I thought. And it's actually very indicative of what Arsenal have been like this season.
Yeah, well, it's another clean sheet as well. Absolutely. I think there's about 10 now in a fairly recent run as well. And when we beat Liverpool at the Emirates, we kind of shackled Suarez very well, which not many teams have managed to do. We're going to have to do that again. I wonder if he'll work out how to
to get around us now.
I kind of forgot that Arsenal were playing on a Friday.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Because I live next door to the stadium, I was like, I came out and I was like, what? I can smell hot dogs. I want a hot dog.
It was a real treat.
Is that the roar of a dinosaur?
Getting home from work and having a bit of dinner and getting to watch that, it was great on a Friday. Yeah. I was going to say, just on the Lewis...
I was out partying, let's make that very clear.
Yeah, as always. Yeah. Okay? You've been partying before you came here today.
I'm like George Best.
Yeah, we came in the studio, it was asleep on the floor.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just you touched on Luis Suarez earlier, I think you're right about what you said about him against Arsenal. I think if you were going to be ultra critical of Suarez this season, you would say he could do with improving his goal scoring rate against the so-called big teams. Mm. So I don't think it's anywhere near as good as... certain teams seem to be able to marshal him reasonably effectively, actually. But obviously against the sort of lower-ranked teams, he's completely relentless.
I'm not sure if Sturridge played... in the game at the Emirates. But if he didn't, then that will make a big difference this time.
I think he did, didn't he? Because there was shouting at him at one point.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Oh, that's right, of course.
Yeah.
So ignore what I just said.
Mm. Yeah.
So well, Arsenal, that's a general rule, though, isn't it?
Yeah, Arsenal exactly. will definitely just, go through. Yeah. They'll definitely go through. I mean, February and March are coming, Jim.
And they are.
Big fixtures for Arsenal, especially in March.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But that... It's what football is, isn't it? So we've just got to deal with it. And to be fair as well, it's the deepest squad we've had in a long time. I mean, Aaron Ramsey's been our best player this season. He's been missing for some time.
Yeah.
And Jack Wilshere's stepped up. He's found his form again and he's been okay. As I say, Cazorla's coming back into form. Podolski's finding a bit of fitness. Giroud's got a few goals here and there since coming back. It's absolutely gutting to lose Theo Walcott. But Oxlade-Chamberlain's sort of back in contention as well. Mm. So.
Well, the key thing about the fifth round game is Arsenal at home and Liverpool's away record isn't really average. They're imperious at home, but away they've not been that great. I mean, people talk a lot about Man City's away record. Liverpool's, I think, is worse. I've not got the figures to hand, but I'm pretty sure it certainly was going into last week's games. It was worse than City. So, I mean,
City's away record isn't that bad.
No, but I mean, just
and Liverpool don't have bottomless pits of cash as well.
No, of course, but I'm just saying there's a similarity there because Liverpool are very, very good at home.
Yeah,
and they'll be playing it at the Emirates. So,
And the last game we got here is Sheffield United 1, Fulham 1. I did like that Sheffield United they play the Star Wars music before the match.
They
did you hear that?
Yeah, no, I heard it. I saw the game. Yeah, it was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But do they do that every week, or is it just for a special occasion?
I don't know.
Trying to intimidate the opposition
for an imperial occasion.
I was going to say that Sheffield United started off very well, and the.
Sending off.
The sending off was just silly, wasn't it? Sending off.
It's just stupid.
Captain again. How many times has that happened this season?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what goes through captain's heads where they sort of go, I'm representing this football club and I'm supposed to be the most level-headed person on the pitch. I'm going to dig someone.
Yeah. I'm still annoyed about something that happened 5 minutes previous. So I'm going to get myself sent off. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and so Sheffield United, realistically, we're never going to hold out, even with Darren Bent's best efforts. They're never going to hold out. That was some miss, that.
No,
I think
it was
flagged offside anyway, but it was a terrible miss.
Well, Fulham stay in the draw. And if they beat Sheffield United, they will play Preston North End or Nottingham Forest.
My favourite bit of the whole match was definitely Colin getting his Adel Taarabt's shirt.
Yeah, what was that one about?
And he looked at it, his hands like he didn't know what had happened. Then he looked at what was in his hands, and it, with a sort of air of a man who just got dog poo in his hand, he sort of went, "What's happening here? Somebody just wiped dog poo on my hand."
I thought it was like he had asked him to wash it or something. That's what it looked like to me.
Well, it looked like it still had its tag on, which I didn't really understand. Mm. And for me, I think the narrative in Warnock's head was, there's been rumours flying around about things I've been doing off the field. I don't want to get handed things.
Maybe
it was a deliberate snub from Taarabt, who was just, going over to him, going, I remember you from QPR. Well, you're the kit man, right? The kit man. Yeah, watch this.
He always gives us his shirt.
I don't even know why Warnock was there. Was he commentating or something?
There was three of them in the tunnel as they were coming out, and then they got chucked out, and they had to broadcast from outside on some kind of crane mechanism.
Oh, so he was punditing.
It was really low rent. It was wonderful.
I didn't see that because I was watching it on a stream. So
Neil Warnock.
I was watching it on a stream.
On
I think
a crane.
It was the BT stream.
Right. Okay.
That we paid
pundit
for.
On a crane.
Oh, excellent. There are 8 matches to be played in the 5th round of the FA Cup. 4 of them are all Premier League ties. Ooh, can you smell Wembley? Well, it's only the semi-finals, so it's not that far away.
It hums longer.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, big ties for a big cup.
Bit of a Everton-Swansea is a good game as well.
Yeah. Everton-Swansea is a good game.
Because Wilfred Bonny against Birmingham, Well, I'm scoring two now. We're a goal down, I'm scoring two. Yeah. Scored like 2 in 2 minutes and that was that. Uh-huh. So he's in really good form at the moment, Bonnie.
Yeah, marvellous stuff.
And again, we said that Sunderland could progress as well. I think they've got a real chance.
Against Southampton, of course. Brighton at home to Hull, there's a chance there.
Yeah, you say that, but I mean, you'd fancy Brighton to a certain extent, but then Hull have done a pretty professional job in the past in the FA Cup, so you never know.
Mm. Well, we look forward to the fifth round, certainly.
Yes.
In League One over the weekend, we had a 9-goal thriller.
That was a great... I watched that unfold on Soccer Saturday, and it was crazy.
Oldham 5, Peterborough 4. The Posh were 3-0 up, but Oldham came roaring back and they won 5-4 with 2 goals in the last 2 minutes. Now, to sum up how crazy this game was, when the fifth Oldham goal went in, two of their players were booked for excessive celebration.
What can you possibly do that's excessive in that context?
The guy who's the guy who got booked who didn't score the goal? Presumably the goal scorer did. He dived into the crowd or shot over the head. Yeah. Yeah. Who's the other guy?
The other guy's taken his shirt off as well. That's a guess.
Right. It's probably as simple as that.
Yeah, they probably piled into the crowd as well, didn't they?
Ah, it's just great.
Because Peterborough were 3-0 up in that game, weren't they? And cruising.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Because I can remember Jeff Stelling saying, it's getting worse for Oldham. And it's game over now, surely, all this stuff.
It's getting better for Oldham.
Yeah, well.
Scenes of a different nature.
There were some really good games in that league.
Did you see the coverage from, I think it was Bianca Jackson at Dagenham and Redbridge?
Oh, so it was in the downpour.
It was unbelievable. It was like, you know, when you watch one of those big budget disaster movies and have the news reports from a tornado or something.
Yeah.
At one point, she was almost physically, almost holding herself next to one of these girders.
Oh, yeah.
With one arm and holding the mic with the other one so she wouldn't be blown away.
Oh,
and they went to it at one point and there was just no one there. It was just rain lashing down and the lights had gone off. It was incredible.
I genuinely thought her face was going to come off at one point. It was that strong.
The last 5 minutes, I think at one point they took the players off because the storm was incredible. I was in London.
But she was still there.
Well, I was working at the time and the storm came over and it was incredible to look at. And so they went back to Dagenham and didn't know what had happened. And yeah, there was just no one there. And so they were like, oh, okay, right, well, it's obviously been abandoned then. And then a couple of minutes later, it came back and she was there again. Oh. Completely wind
and
rain.
Can I go home as well? You're staying.
It was brilliant. It was a brilliant effort from her, I have to say.
Well done.
I wouldn't have stuck around.
Well done, that lady. Brentford beat Gillingham 2-1 and they go top, but Leighton will have a game in hand. Wolves only a few points behind two after 3-1 win against Bristol City. Ooh, the top of League One. Mm. Is getting interesting. Before we go abroad, in the Conference North, Oxford City had an odd happening to one of their players. The goalkeeper, Victor Franchos. Is that how you say it, Franchos?
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. I've not heard of him.
It's a funny one. He got an injury from falling out of a tree while attempting to rescue a cat.
Didn't say whether he actually did it. He attempted to rescue.
Well,
maybe
the cat's still up there.
Yeah, it is still up there.
Or just lived there. Yeah. Didn't want to come down.
Maybe the storm got it down.
Maybe it was the tree's cat.
Yeah. The side will be without him for 2 weeks. And the manager, Mike Ford, said the most... what would you call it? Like, you know when you get the...
direct.
A real stereotypical lower league English manager's response to this. He just said, it's ridiculous. I've got no sympathy for him. He fell out of a tree when he was trying to get a cat. And this... You just don't get professional players climbing trees. You just don't get it.
No,
it's true. It doesn't happen.
It's such a cliche.
Oh, excellent. Dear.
Well, it's not really a cliche, but you know what I
mean. It sounds like a bit of a sort of pundit cliche, doesn't it? Like, if a player does something really boneheaded, like, oh, he's climbed a tree there.
Ron Atkinson doing one on a similar theme.
It's only just short of him saying, he's seen the cat in the tree.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going up there.
Lower league English managers, they just can't talk normally. To be honest, I've no idea what he's doing. I mean, it's a bit strange. I've never come across a player being injured. Yeah.
There's been a lack of communication between him and the cat. And he's been caught in no man's tree.
That's it.
At the end of the day, we have worked on that in training, getting the cats down.
We never get it down. It doesn't seem to want to come down.
Its feet are all wrong.
Last week, we ran out of cats, so we couldn't practice it.
Well, it's obviously the cat's day.
As a league going, terribly. Terribly.
End of day, that cat can say that Victor Frankl was trying to rescue him today.
But you just don't get professional players climbing trees.
No, you don't.
Speaking of Ince, it looks like he might be on the move now his dad's gone.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah.
Exciting.
Maybe his dad will make him play for whoever he manages, and his career
just
will
waiting
suffer.
For a club to line him up.
I saw a few Blackpool fans tweeting at the weekend that they didn't really care. They were just happy that Paul Ince had gone.
Some of their players were
fans. I'm not sure players were as well.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
That Instagram. What's his name? Ian Everett, who was released from. Blackpool by Paul Ince, was it? Saying, oh, I can't believe it. I'm chuffed that that guy's gone and all this other stuff.
Oh, dear.
It's lovely. It is lovely when the PR mask slips a little bit. Yeah. Somebody just kicks a man while he's down. Yeah. Why do they keep on giving him jobs?
The thing is, like, if Ian Everett has been released from Blackpool, is without a club, it's not really going to endear him to another club, is it?
Yeah. Unless loads of people think Paul Ince is a bell end, which they do. So...
Yeah. Right, are we ready to go abroad?
Yes.
Let's go to La Liga. Real Madrid were briefly at the top of the league after beating Granada 2-0, but Barcelona were back on top after their 3-0 win at home to Malaga.
They did make hard work of it against Malaga. I think they were one up at half-time through a PK goal from a set piece, and they sort of struggled
PK's
a bit.
Digging them out of holes quite a bit lately.
He scored, apparently, I think he scored like 13 goals for Barcelona now, but he scored for them the previous week as well, I think. But obviously they eventually won out, as you would expect. But more problems, sort of slight more problems off the pitch.
Well, Sandra Rosell has resigned as president in light of the Spanish court's decision to investigate the signing of Neymar.
Yeah, that does not look good, does it?
Yeah. I mean, he's sort of jumped ship there before the investigation's gone.
It's the sort of move that has the eyes of the world on it as well. Yeah. And also, there's a lot of money involved, so there's a lot of money to be made. I mean, every agent
Neymar's
in the world's
dad's done well out of it.
Neymar's dad's company has done well out of it.
Can you imagine ringing the club? Is Sandra there? He's gone. Oh, okay. So can I take a message? No.
Can I remind everyone that he came up my cock? So I get the money.
I'll get him on the mobile.
Sperm,
I'll get
one so I want a cut.
Yeah. A multi-million dollar cut.
Yeah.
I said cut, Victor.
Yeah.
Oh, cat.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I can't say too much on that because there are laws against it.
Should we wait until the court case has been...
Let's never speak of this again.
It's never stopped us before.
We've been told about it before, haven't we?
So yeah. I wouldn't want to be guilty of that. Now, Rayo Vallecano, they lost 2-4 at home. 2-4 to Atletico Madrid. Mm. It's very strange. Atletico Madrid and Azerbaijan have agreed to extend their sponsorship deal until the 30th of June 2015. I didn't really know.
There's a specific date.
I think I've used an analogy before, but I think Atletico Madrid have no natural predators like the lemurs of Madagascar, so they've grown into weird primates that don't look like any other primates. They're just doing their own thing.
Love that.
They're signing loads of players every season. Their chairman's nuts are just... I love it.
Yeah, I do as well.
Chairman's less nuts than chairman they've had in the past, to be fair.
and they could win the league. Against Real Madrid and Barcelona. Well, they are up there with them.
They had Jesus Gil, didn't they? He basically used to undermine them at every turn.
He used to take a strange pleasure in it.
How long's the new manager been in charge for? Eight months? Get rid of him now.
He's gone off.
I thought I gave him a 6-month contract.
I don't care if he's winning. It's not about him, it's about me. It's like the whole thing we used to talk about Florentino Perez.
Yeah.
About how he wouldn't care how the club were doing, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be in the headlines.
Yes.
He wanted to, do you know what I mean? So Jesus Gil was very much like that, wasn't he? But to the nth degree.
Some chairman, you kind of wonder how they made their money. They're like, how, like club owners.
Well, like Mike Ashley, you mean?
Well, that's a very good example, Luke. I'm glad you brought him up. But I just...
Well, you sort of did.
How do they make their money?
Yeah, but I mean, this sponsorship deal, it is between the country Azerbaijan and Atletico Madrid. Again, I've been so dazzled by their play that I haven't really looked at their kit sponsor. And this sponsorship deal, because it says on the front, Azerbaijan... and I forget the little slogan it's got in it, something about country of fire or something, I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, and the sponsorship deal includes a friendly match against Azerbaijan, a development plan for training young athletes from Azerbaijan, a clinic in the capital city and marketing events designed to strengthen the club's image and promote Azerbaijan around the world.
Mm.
It's 12 million for a season and a half.
Well, I think I'm a bit sketchy on this, and I'm no Sid Lowe, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think the club is still run by the sort of, not Jesus Gil himself, but the sort of family. Mm. And Carreso, who's the current president, is I'm not sure if he's their puppet, but he's the one who they've delegated to run it.
Mm.
So I'm not suggesting that they're not necessarily much more sane than they were before. I think Simeone is quite a terrifying man.
He can hold his own in that environment. They're doing so well. But I mean, it's not that unusual a deal when football is trying to find alternative revenue streams, isn't it? And they've just found a quite lucrative one.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Sadder news, though. I mean, it's not to do with Atletico, but it's one of their former stars. Falcao got a bad injury and he might miss the World Cup.
That's a shame.
The surgery on his knee was successful and he's been given a 50-50 chance, but he's one of the players that most of the world is looking forward to seeing in the tournament, so we really hope he can get there.
It's a funny one because you would back him and his work rate to get back fit in time, but I mean, he's not going to have had games, so he won't be coming into the tournament in any sort of fitness.
Such a shame. Right, let's go to Africa. Egypt, specifically.
Sing, sing, Egypt.
Do you remember Meadow?
Mm. Come on, do I remember? Come on, we all remember Meadow.
Apparently Meadow was the straw that broke the camel's back when Johan Cruyff got really angry with Ajax. Seeing him play for them made him so furious he staged a coup.
I'm reading Ibrahimovic's book at the moment, which is a great, great read.
Is Meadow in it?
Yeah, Meadow's in there, and he's like, he's as crazy as me. In fact, I think he might even say he gives less of a shit than me or something.
I talk to you last week about Cruyff breaking into Ajax?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Didn't Meadow
reply on Twitter to a fan who said, you're a fat mess or something? He goes, I've had your mum, basically, or something like that.
he's from like Egyptian, like a very sort of aristocratic type of Egyptian family, so he doesn't need to
be a footballer.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, given that he's only 31 now, when would you say his peak was?
The thing is, though, he played for Ajax, he played for Spurs. You know, he did okay. Did he play for Marseille as well?
I think he did a brief spell
at Roma. I mean, for a guy who wasn't that bothered, my goodness. Yeah. He did okay. But I know what you mean, though. If he'd have actually cared, what he could have done.
But what I'm getting into as well is I think that's been sort of influential in how he got the job at Zamalek. Mm.
I'd have thought this is what you're about to say. Well, he's 31, and he's the youngest top-level coach in Egypt, I think, ever, which would be no surprise. And it's Zamalek, his boyhood side, who were based in Cairo. And he said, for those who criticise my appointment because of my age, it is normal in Europe, and I'm ready for the challenge. It's not normal
really
in Europe.
It's normal to do your badges, which I imagine you don't have.
Yeah. Especially as I was always a leader on the pitch as a player.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
No. None of that I agree with.
Is it Meadow's birthday? Have his parents just bought him his favourite club?
Yeah, that must be. Must be
he it. Turned out for Barnsley late on, didn't he? Very strange.
Yeah. But we look forward to hearing what comes out of Zamalek in the coming seasons.
I just don't see how he's
seasons,
get...
weeks. He won't be there long. Yeah. I wouldn't know.
I just don't see how he's going to. I mean, I don't know the guy, obviously. But I don't see how he's going to get any respect from the players and stuff. It's a bit of a strange one.
Just a load of photos of him.
I think it's great for us.
Yeah. he's got a lot of goals for Egypt, though, hasn't he? He's got a very good record.
His scoring record wasn't
bad. It's decent enough. Yeah. He's got quite a few caps for Egypt. He's got like 50-odd caps for Egypt, I think, yeah.
Often when a story is good for us, you know that it's not good for the people. Football fans of that club. And let's go to South Africa, where they did Sing Sing Africa. And the national team are thinking that they might drop the nickname Bafana Bafana. Fana. It's a Zulu word, which pretty much translated is the lads, the lads. They've used it since 1992, which was when South Africa returned to international football after a apartheid.
Isn't the reason for them doing this because someone nipped in there and got the copyright of it, and they couldn't get the copyright of it, and so they appealed it, but they lost it in court. They lost the case, I think, so they don't actually own it. So I think that they've thought, I'm sort of reading between the lines here, I think, but a little bit. But I think they've probably thought, well, let's just get another nickname then, and then we'll copyright that, and that'll be it. Mm. But it's not really going to work. You can't just... I mean, if people are used to it...
You can't give yourself a nickname, all know.
I'd love, though, if they did give the nickname, we're going to do this, and someone quickly copyrighted it. No!
Someone's probably got every copyright for every single sort of potential outcome of this you can think of.
What was that terrible thing that I think Chris Kamara was involved in before the last World Cup? And
he changed his name or something.
Yeah, but it was something like Bazongo or something, or Badanga or something. Kabanga.
Yeah, another famous one is, I think that Jimmy White, for one of the snooker tournaments, changed his name. He was sponsored by HP to change his name from Jimmy White to Jimmy Brown. That actually happened. I promise you that happened.
Do you remember when Gascoigne wanted to be called G8?
Yeah. Because it sounded like great. Even though it sounds like gate.
It sounds more like a summit.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Dear, oh dear. Right, well, that is all the African football news you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, for the time being.
I'm sure more has happened. But that's all we're giving you.
Well, not as important. Yeah, Jim.
If you're using this for a news service, you are already beyond help.
That laughter is directed at you.
We're abusing your ears, like Marcus said we wouldn't.
Oh, Damn it all. Well, they won't remember that.
No.
Brazil. Let's go to Brazil. 41-year-old Rivaldo, who is now player president. Player president!
This is how you do it, Mido.
That's one step up from player pimp.
player king.
I love the fact that he's not player manager. He can't be arsed doing the managerial stuff. Player president.
I'd like to see this rolled out en masse. Player kit man. Yeah. Player car park attendant. Player food... Beverage assistant.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Water boy.
Player. Water boy. He's just got drunk with power.
player, where he actually literally has to play two positions.
Yeah, I like that. Mm. So, yeah, Moggy Miriam is, of course, the club, and he played last week in his side's 4-0 defeat to Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo!
That must have been a state championship game or something.
Mm. Still, though, yeah. Rivaldo's son was on the bench but didn't feature.
Don't worry, son, I still got it.
You have a I don't pick the I'm team.
Yeah. Keeping my son out of the team.
Yeah. the manager's like, I'm going to bring it. Nah, I'm still all right. Teasing him. I've got a bit of cramp. Oh, I'm better now.
Well, I'm going to speak to the manager. I'm the president.
Yeah.
Oh, marvellous. That would be great. And then another former Brazil international star. Well, former, he could get back in the squad, but it's unlikely. Ronaldinho. He's released a song with his rapper friend, Ed City, called Go In Faith. So make sure you buy that, ladies and gentlemen.
That reminds me of when Chris Waddle and Basil Bolly did a rap song in the early 90s.
Ah, that was...
The video for that is a sight to behold.
Wonderful.
It's really 90s. It's really like, it's got sort of luminous squiggles.
Yeah, it almost looks like a 90s kids TV show, though, doesn't
like
it?
Like the tree in Mr. Cooper.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or Clarissa explains it all.
Cross with a global hypercolour t-shirt.
Yeah, and it's got Chris Evans in it.
No, it hasn't.
It doesn't, but the 90s theme made me say that.
It's got your clothes in it, mate.
Pete's game time.
Pete's game time. Thank you very much to Ryan Doran for coming up the clues to this one. Steve Agnew-Bett.
Yeah, okay.
He also gave Frank Com my LeBluff, but we've had that
I sort of feel like we've hit rock bottom and now we're slowly brought ourselves out of it, so I'm not going to complain.
It's
That'll
fine.
Do.
It's fine. Yeah. I was born in Lewisham on the 2nd of October 1969 and grew to a height of 5'7". So quite late.
Say that again. You're born
Lewisham.
In
Lewisham.
Lewisham. Lewisham.
In 65'7".
69. Yeah.
Stop, Jody Morris.
No.
Jody Morris isn't 45, is he?
Oh, did he say 45?
He said he's born in 69.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maths. My middle name is Seymour.
Stop. Paolo Seymour Maldini.
Stop. Is it Dion Dublin?
No, it's not.
Okay. Stop. Is it Paul Furlong?
No. In 1998, I transferred to Scottish football under the Bosman ruling and won the domestic treble while finishing as the league's top scorer.
Is it Rod Wallace?
Yeah.
It is Rod Wallace.
Oh, yeah!
Well done. I haven't got one of these in ages.
Well done, Jim. That's very good. Very
well
good.
Done, mate. Well done.
Well done, my friend.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah, cheers, Jim. How are we going to fill the rest of the time? Yeah.
Well, I think we've got an email, do we not?
We do, yeah. I've had this email sat in front of me for about 20 minutes now, and I'm so glad that I can now read it. It's from friend of the Ramble, Murray James. Dear Pete, Marcus, Luke and Jim, in order of most likely to get their wang stuck in a toaster.
I like the way he still emails us, even though he could just text or ring or whatever, you know. Because he's a pal.
He's professional.
He's a friend of the Ramble. Yeah. My Sunday league game was postponed at the weekend and I felt as lost as Richard Keys at a Don't Be a Tiny Face twat convention. I just didn't know what to do with myself, so I knocked up a Jurassic Park 11, lining up 4-3-3. Okay, so here we go. In goal.
Sit down, everyone, because strap yourselves in.
Yeah, if you're on the train, you might want to pause it.
Yeah.
In goal. Edwin van der Saras Rex.
Okay, good start.
In defence, Rory Delap, as in raw like a dinosaur might.
Oh, what do you mean, raw? Okay, right, yeah.
Isla Nublad. Isla Nublerto Solano.
Isla Nublad. Okay. So,
yeah. Stig Ingen Bjornaby.
That's good.
Don't worry, they get better.
Ingen, very good.
Embryo Ferdinand.
Yeah. Think Jurassic Park, not dinosaurs, Jurassic Park 11.
David Dun 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 Dun. Heavy Prince Boateng. Tom Clever Gurley.
Yeah! Oh,
and up front, we've got DNA Ashton.
Yeah.
Or DNA Ashton. Jan Velosigor of Raptorlink. In the middle, we've got Gabriel Batistuta. And on the bench, we've got Hammond Shearer, Nedry Sheringham, Darren Amberton, Jurassic Park. Martin Skrtel, manager Dr. Avram Grant, assistant Breda Hangerland, and mascot, of course, Gunnosaurus. And Murray continues, at half-time, Sepp Blatter is dressed as a goat, chained to a stake in a centre circle, and mauled to death. So thank you, Murray.
Dr. Avram Grant.
Yeah, I was going to say that apparently it's true because many people have got in contact with me about it. The original cage at the very start
sale,
of Jurassic Park where they hold the Velociraptor is on sale on eBay. But no postage.
No, but you've got to get
pick
it
up only, yeah.
What, is it on the island still?
Yeah, you've got to get it.
I'm not going to get it. You know what I mean? It'd be a dilapidated mess.
Why is that on sale now?
No idea. No idea.
They're raising funds for the new one.
Oi, leave me out of it.
No. I'll put you in it.
Get my hands on it. Safest place for me.
Well done, Murray James. That's lovely stuff.
More correspondence?
More correspondence.
Right,
you
heard earlier that Victor Franco was injured trying to save a cat from a tree. So I asked our Twitter and Facebook followers, what's the most ridiculous injury you've seen/had playing football? Now, can I just say before we get underway with this, and it's not printed out properly, so it's going to take me a while to read them, there were quite a lot of liars on this. A lot of these I've heard before that aren't true, so they've not made it in. So if you made it up, shame on you. Okay, yes, I am the arbiter of what's true and what isn't. So first of all, Tom Bristow. I broke a finger trying a Robbie Keane-esque celebration after scoring a goal in secondary school. It was the worst day of Brian McDermott's life.
That's how I brought my elbow. I was doing a Jürgen Klinsmann dive.
Oh, really? Okay.
And this bit of my elbow, so I got a scar there.
Oh, my goodness.
My bit of my elbow
quite
went
heavy,
down my arm.
You have, yeah. Quite a heavy fall.
I broke my toe kicking a bottle cap, or, you know, failing to kick a bottle cap in the street once, and just punted the floor.
Can I just say, I have seen you playing with the greatest respect. I can understand that.
Yes.
Gavin Barber on the Twitter. I wasn't playing, but I did once dislocate my jaw through over-enthusiastic yelling in celebration of an Ipswich goal versus Man United.
That is too firm.
That is a very passionate celebration.
That is great, that is.
No, just like a snake trying to hook his own jaw.
Imagine that.
Yeah. The mind boggles. Well, that's how he said he injured his jaw anyway. Gwyn Davis on the Twitter. Not an injury as such, but I was once brought on as a sub by the manager to comfort my mate in goal who was crying because he conceded six.
Aww.
That's nice. Very, very sort of touching moment, I would
have
thought.
How much defending could you have done?
Exactly.
If you're consoling a man.
It's only going to get worse. In a way, it's ironic because he's not going to be defending, he's going to be comforting, but the goal scores are going to get worse. I don't know what to make of this one. I'll leave it to you guys. This is from Jorrit on Twitter. My father was once kicked by a horse while trying to get the ball out of the water next to the pitch. There's no more information than that. I'm presuming it's northern. Pete, can you shed any light? Does that normally happen?
Why do you think that's northern? I'd say it's more West Country.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair. But I don't know.
I see a horse.
I'm staying
day.
Out of this Twitter.
Any other?
Just bear that in mind.
Any other regions of the country you want us to?
I like to think that the horse kicked him on the bum and he fell in the river.
Yeah,
trying to get the ball out.
What else? Love the West. What else have we got here? A couple of quite low ones here. You're all right. Christian Cole. A teammate ran over the sideline chasing a ball and was bitten by a dog. The dog was on the leash being held by a spectator. He just ran too close and surprised it. Even better, after being bitten out of habit, he appealed to the ref as if he should book the dog. Very nice. What else have we got here? Yeah, this last one is quite good. This is from Lewis Appleby. He says, I cut my ear open running backwards into the angle of metal fiver-side goalpost.
Oh,
yeah.
That's horrible.
Ended up in the A&E getting it glued up, and the nurse politely told me to refrain from playing football for 2 to 3 weeks until it was completely healed. Yeah. I think they use like a glue now. Yeah. Okay. The next day, in the playground, all was going well. Brackets. I mean, who gets hit in the ear during football? I would have been fine. Until the ball rolled out to a girl and she unleashed one of the hardest toe punts I've ever witnessed. Needless to say, it twatted me in the ear. Right on it. And I returned to the hospital to get a right old bollocking and then from the nurse as well. What are the chances, Lewis, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, any of you boys got any sort of comedy injuries? Did I tell you the story about me accidentally breaking a guy's ankle at football?
Oh,
you say this with a terrifying relish.
No. Forgive me if I've told this before, but I once was playing Sunday League and there was a challenge, a bit of a 50-50. It wasn't a bad challenge by me. It's certainly not one of the worst challenges I've done. And the guy got a broken ankle, basically. Mm. It was horrible, and he got carted off and all that other stuff. And he was quite annoyed about it, understandably. Because, you know, when you play Sunday League football, you've actually got a life as well. So it's not like you could just put your feet up for 6 weeks. So it was a bit annoying for him, of course. And I felt guilty about it and stuff. And at the time, I was working on a checkout at Safeway.
Oh, yeah.
The next day, the guy came to my checkout on crutches. And I could see him in the queue. It's quite a busy sort of queue. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be really, really awkward. But luckily, he didn't remember me, and he just carried on. It was fine, but I felt so bad. He was just on crutches with a big plaster cast on his ankle and everything.
It's the 15-year-old in Portsmouth with a big beard.
I have a beard then.
It wasn't a football injury, but I once fractured my collarbone when I was a kid. And I was climbing a climbing frame, and you think, logically, he must have fallen off of it. It fell apart. Like, I wasn't a fat child. It just seemed so unfair.
Yeah, I wish I was there for that. That sounds excellent.
Not your fault, Jim. No.
Pete, how could I have known?
Any football injuries?
No, apart from the aforementioned Jürgen Klinsmann dive, broken elbow. Yeah. But I've had a few. I've got one now. I've scraped all my knee off thanks to the 3G Market Road pitches in North London.
The Jürgen Klinsmann elbow, I was just thinking about it. It seems like quite a severe injury for just a... It wasn't on concrete, was it, you did it?
No. I put my arm out to stop myself because I pushed out of the actual Klinsmann dive. My arm sort of bent around the wrong way. And my arm was gone. I suppose I'm going to take you to hospital now, aren't I? She was really annoyed about it. And then she took me to the hospital, saw the x-ray, then bought me a Newcastle shirt. So,
Which one was it?
Guilt-tripped. It was the classic Yuki Brown one.
Yeah.
Did you break? I've seen you wear that still now. Did you break the other elbow on purpose next week? Next season?
Get away.
It worked last time.
Yeah. How did you get the goalkeeper kit?
The Shaka one.
Yeah.
Just bought it.
Paper round, mate. Industrious young man I was.
Damn right. Yeah. Well, that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, betfair.com/footballramble for a £50 matched bet when you open an account. And I, for those of you who missed it, I advised everyone to open an account at the weekend and back David Nugent to score at any time, which is like buying money at evens. He missed a penalty, didn't he? Ah. He missed a damn penalty.
He's missed a few now, hasn't he? Naughty boy.
I don't want to talk about it.
The difference.
But yeah, do that and all
the
that sort
misference.
Of stuff.
Well, he's unlikely to not score two weekends in a row, is he?
Exactly.
What was that, Pete? The misference.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Rock and Roll Football is back this weekend. Live Barclays Premier League commentary match from 3 o'clock on Absolute Radio. Hull City versus Spurs should be a good one.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me, darlings.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.